come from a wild life, you know. There's all, now I can. You come from a wild life, maybe from drugs or alcohol, or you get saved and you go on for the Lord. But my life was a little different. When I was born in Woodstock, Ontario, 1942, December 8th, and my parents were Christians. They were very dedicated Christians and went to the Salvation Army, and we grew up in the Salvation Army. My dad was in the band, and we're very strict. Sunday was a day of church. Sunday morning, we always were at church. Sunday school was in the afternoon, about 2:30. We went to Sunday school, and then the evening service, we went to that too. Prayer meeting on Wednesday, we always went there. And we grew up in the church. My first time in the church was in the nursery. I ended up in the nursery, and I grew up in the Sunday school and worked myself into young people's and what have you, and very active in the church. They wanted me to be in the band. They says, if you're not in the band of the Salvation Army, you're nobody. And so a friend of my dad's, he says, I'm going to teach Dave the trombone. Well, you know something, I wasn't musically inclined. I was no part of music, and I would love to go out in the fields and sketch and draw and paint and do a lot of artwork. That was my thing. I enjoyed that. But music wasn't my thing. So I wore the uniform, but I wasn't in the band. I never got into the band. So I was very active in the Salvation Army youth program and grew up, and I was in Sunday school and the whole thing. I was there. But then something was wrong. Something terrible was wrong. Why am I here? What am I doing? Well, my parents forced me there. That's why I was there. We ended up with 10 kids in the family. I was the oldest of 10. I was the first one to come along, and I was the oldest. And then all of a sudden, our youth program got on the bus, and we were going to London, Ontario, for a Youth for Christ rally. And so we ended up there. And I happened just to go along. And then we got into the rally, and says, this preacher was Bill Bright. He was the director of Youth for Christ. He started it, and he was a speaker. And he came up and he says, you know, young people, you can go to church, but you never get to heaven. You can do anything in the church. You can work in the church, but you never get to heaven. He says, ooh, that was me. You know, where am I going? You know, December 8th, 1956, I was 14 years old. I went forward and accepted Christ as my personal Savior. December 8th, I was born again on the same date. December the 8th, I was born. December the 8th, I was born again. And I wondered, why is God doing this? 8th must be my number, you know. So anyway, then I decided, you know, the Salvation Army's got some different doctrine. I got into the Bible a little bit more, and they don't celebrate communion. They don't have baptism. I says, I got to be baptized. So anyway, I left the Salvation Army when I was about 15, 16, and I went into an AGC church. It was called People's Bible Church at that time, and I met a girl there. And she liked to draw and sketch and do the same thing as I did. So we kind of got together. We dated, and we went together for 5 years. We were engaged to be married. Then all of a sudden, the Lord led us to Bible college. So I went to Bible college 1 year. Before that, I was in the roofing business. I had a job. I left school when I was in grade 10. I didn't finish high school. And so then all of a sudden, I got a job in the roofing business. I was there for about 10 years. And I did a lot of repair work in the wintertime. I did roofing in the summertime. And that's how I learned all my repair stuff, you know, plumbing, electrical, all that stuff way back then. And, you know, my dad was very honest. He says, Dave, what are you doing with your life? You know, what's going on? I remember when I was 7 years old, he was a very honest guy. And we went to the hardware store, and I was looking around, and my dad was buying some stuff. And I seen this little red screwdriver, little red handles. In those days, a red handle was very bright. Nowadays, it's just normal. But anyway, it was good, so I picked it up and put it in my pocket. So I went home with this screwdriver in my pocket, and my dad caught me. He says, "Dave, where did you get that?" I says, "Well, I took it from the hardware store." He says, "Well, you didn't pay for it." I says, "No." So he took me by my hand and took me right up to the hardware store, and we took that screwdriver back to the owner. My dad knew the owner. And so, well, I felt bad about that. But anyway, I said, "You better tell him you're sorry." And I said, "Okay." So that's how honest my dad was. We learned a lesson from my dad. You know, he was there. But then, I met this girl, and we got engaged, and we went to Bible school. And we went 1 year, and then and Carol come to me, and he says, "Dave, the Lord has called me to be a missionary." And I said to Carol, I says, "Well, he hasn't called me to be a missionary yet." So we kind of went our own ways. The engagement was off. And then I started, when I was in Bible school, I went to a furniture store. I worked part-time in a furniture store, you know, on the truck and taking furniture to people and everything. So I had an essay to do in Bible school. It was about the Holy Spirit. It was a really, 10-page essay. And you had to type it out. You had to do it all in form. And so I didn't know how to type. So I asked the secretary of the furniture store to do this for me. So she says, "Well, I got to ask my priest." She was Roman Catholic. She said, "I can't do this because I don't know what this is all about." So she did, and it was okay. So she typed the whole thing out. And so I went into the store one day, and she had it all written out for me. And she says, she was crying. I says, "What's going on? Why are you crying?" And so she says, "I just heard that John F. Kennedy was assassinated." And that was the week that he had got killed. 1963, and that's when she was crying. So I kind of encouraged her a bit and told her about what the Lord meant to me, you know. But she never did accept Him. I don't know where she is now, but she never did. But I give her the word, and she took it, and that's the way it went. Okay. Anyway, my wife told me to put all this down so I don't ramble. She said. So I went on, and I went back to the roofing company after I went to Bible school and did a roofing for a long time, and then he retired. So then I decided I'd go to get another job in a machine shop. And so I did. I went, did a lot of machine work and did a lot of welding. And so I got really expert in welding, and then I finally got my license in welding, and so that was that's the way I went. So then everything went all together. Then somebody at the church says, "Will you come and help me with the roof?" Well, I knew about roofing, so there's a leak in the roof, which is here. But anyway, I went. This is in Woodstock, so we went up on the roof, and I met this guy. He was a guy that did all the maintenance around the church. Now Bruce knows him. It was Bert Niebel. So Bert Niebel was up there, and I went up in there, up in the roof, and we sat, and we fixed the roof, and we sat down, and he says, "Dave, what are you doing in your life?" I said, "I don't know. The Lord has led me somewhere, just one day by day. And he says, "Why don't you get into Christian Service Brigade? Very active, you know, it's a boys' club." So I says, "Okay." So I got my training and everything. I went into boys' brigade. And the director of Christian Service Brigade was Tom Swan at that time. And so I got to kind of know him a bit. I got really active in the Christian Service Brigade. So I had a car, so every time I pick all these boys up and take them to the classes, and every weekend we had something going, camporees and soapbox derbies and bowling tournaments and the whole bit. And it was you know, it was time consuming, and I enjoyed it. So I really enjoyed working with boys, and I led a lot of boys to Christ through the ministry. And And then all of a sudden, this family wanted to come to church, and his dad was an alcoholic, and her mother was a single mom, and so I picked these two boys up and took them to church and Sunday school and to brigade and the whole bit, you know. And so Tim, he wanted to know what Jesus was all about, so I led him to the Lord. But his brother was a little wild. He didn't care for it. He didn't want no part of it. So anyway, I lost contact with him, and they moved away out west somewhere, and I lost contact with him. And all of a sudden, I don't know. I was trying to get a hold of him, but I couldn't find him. So anyway, so that went through, and I started with my life, and so I was 21, 22 now, and so. And then I got involved in the church again and work, and I was doing okay. And then when I hit about 28, a family from Bible school, they introduced me. I always go over there for lunch Sunday and everything, and the whole bit, you know. There was nothing to me, so they invited me over. And she invited somebody else over too. And I says, "What's going on?" I didn't know that this was going on, but anyway, it was Drew. She came, and she had two boys, and her husband got killed in a plane crash, and she had two boys, aged of 8 and 7, no, 8 and 6 or 5 or something around that age. But anyway, it didn't matter. So we had dinner, and we got talking, and we got. And I got playing around with the boys because I enjoy boys. So they went through a real rough time because their dad had just got killed, you know, about a year before. And so anyway, we got together and Drew says, "I don't want no part of this. You know, I don't want this happening. You know, you go fly a kite." So I went and flew some kites with the boys. And so anyway, so we got together, we talked and something there. Lord was leading something there. I don't know what it was, but anyway, we got dated, and I come to Toronto. She lived in Toronto. She had bought the two houses that we live in now, or the one house and the one next door. She had already bought those, and I come up and visit her. You know, we dated and got to know the boys a bit, and they really took a liking to me, and I took a liking to them, and. Of course, I took a liking to Drew too, and so anyway, this lasted for about a year, and she said, we were just talking. Drew and I were just talking. She said, "Well, let's get married." So we never did get engaged; we just got married, and that was so anyway, that's the way my life was, and then. So I got to change jobs. I got to move to Toronto. So we moved in. I moved into the house. And so Drew's brother, his boss, and was a friend of another guy that just started a new company up in Ajax. So anyway, I went over there and applied for the job, and they wanted a welder right away. So there was only two guys there. They started the company. They're just moving all the equipment in. So I helped do that. And I started in a welding job, and I was there for 25 years. And so, I ended up with the manager of the manufacturing and the supervisor and the heavy-duty welder, you know. And I trained welders and got a couple of welders in it, and we ended up with about 50 people in the plant. And so we kind of built it up together, this guy and I. And then all of a sudden. A year in about the 1990s, I says, "We got to sell our house and move to Ajax because it was getting too far away." And anyway, going back a little bit, I forgot about something. In 73, we got married on April 8th. Remember that 8? April 8th, we got married in 1972. And so I moved in, and then 1973... Kim came along, and that was our daughter. So we had two boys and a daughter. 1976, Matthew came along, and we had three boys and a daughter. And then, so that happened, and we moved to Bridal Town. We used to go to Bethel Bible Church in Kingston Road. It was an AGC church. So we moved here about 74, 75, moved into Bridal Town. And in about 1990, going back a little bit, we decided we wanted to sell our house. Everything was going well. I had a good job, and everything was going well, and all the kids were going to school, and everything was going well. 1990, I said, we got to sell the house and go to Ajax, because it was getting too far to travel and what have you. And when the house went up for sale, we didn't even have the sign on the thing, and somebody bought it. So they bought the house. A young couple come in, and they bought the house, and they wanted, but there's a thing in the a clause in the contract that if we didn't find a house in Ajax, it wouldn't go through. But we looked around, we couldn't find a house in Ajax. No way, something was wrong here. So, I don't know. And the kids, they didn't want to move because they had their friends there, and our neighbors didn't want us to move, and the whole thing was not right. But I didn't know what the Lord was going here. But the thing didn't go, and so we took it off the market again. And then 1995 was a bad year for me. I got a call from my brother, and he says, your brother has committed suicide. And I wondered, what's going on here? It was 1994 in the winter time. I got a call in the early morning, and my brother had committed suicide. Now, we've gone to Woodstock quite a few to visit my parents and, you know, Drew and I and the kids. And what was going on here? Dad says there's something wrong with Tom. We go over and talk to him. And so I said, okay. But we never had time because it was on a Sunday. We'd go there and visit them and then come back home again. But I never found time. It was two or three times my dad says, Dave, go talk to Tom. And I never did. And a few weeks later, he committed suicide. He was going through a rough time in his life. He was in Calgary, and he was working for the school board. And he got laid off there, and he came back to Ontario again. He tried to get into Woodstock and the school board, and they never accepted him. And his marriage wasn't going too good. And so he was one of the guys that kept everything to himself. He didn't open up or anything. So that really devastated me when I heard this news. And so anyway, I felt a guilty conscience that Lord is talking to me about something. I was guilty about this. Why didn't I talk to Tom? Why didn't I do this? But it was rough for a while. And then the same year, I lost my job at Ajax. The boss, the owner, wanted to sell the company. He was retiring. He sold the company to Tyco International down in the States. They own a lot of companies down there. And all the manufacturing went down the States. And I was out of a job. Now I know why the house wasn't sold. The Lord had a purpose for it. You know, the same year my dad passed away, the same year as my brother committed suicide, and I lost my job, it was a rough year for me. But you know, the Lord is there. He's still there. And he helped me through it. It was rough, but he helped me through it. And so 1995, I lost my job. And after that, I picked up a couple other jobs. I worked for Paint Plus. He painted bumpers for GM and Ajax. It was still in Ajax. So I don't know what. I worked there for a couple of years, and they closed down. And so GM took over again. So anyway, so I got a few other jobs. I got one job in Toronto and maintenance and in the machine shop again, welding. I went back to welding again. So I worked there for a year or so. And then I was up at Elam Lodge, and this one guy, he went to Bethel I was on the board of Bethel Church with him. He was an older fellow, and he says, Dave, why don't you come come and work for me. And it was maintenance work, and he did a lot. He was retired from the bank, so he did a lot of maintenance work and construction work. And so I helped him out a bit. And so I says, Len, I'm going to go on my own. And so he went on his own. And so we kind of worked together. When we needed somebody, he come along. When I needed somebody, he come along. And so we worked together. But in the year 2000, I started on my own and did maintenance and stuff. And I'm still doing it. And so I'm getting old age pension now, so it helps out. So I don't work as much now. I took on the job of caretaker here in 2000. And I worked here for 8 years, and the Lord worked through my life, and that's what's happening. And the Lord was always there. You wonder, you know, what's happening? You know, when that year, that bad year, the Lord helped me through that. I was doing okay. My faith was just there. But when the Lord put me through that year, I went back to Him. And, you know, it built my faith up, going through all that hardships. And that's my life. And now I'm still here working in Bridletown and doing things that the Lord has called me to do. And so that's my testimony. And the Lord was always there. You know, some people come up and they do a testimony, you know, get away from drugs. But I had nothing to do with that. I was never involved in that. I was involved in the church. But the Lord saved me after I understood it's not the church that saves you. It's not the people that saves you. It's Jesus Christ that saves you. And so that's the way it was. And people wonder now, you know, that was my life. And I thank the Lord for going through that. He helped me through a lot of things, and I'm still striving to carry on to work with the Lord, and whatever He has for me to do, I'll be there.